I love that you're having such a lively discussion. I hate to cut it to a close so soon. But Carrie wanted me to do a couple things to find out if there are any questions that you'd really like to ask in the audience, and then to talk about what I do at Culture of Life Family Services. So are there any questions, just maybe one or two that came up that you'd want me to answer? Okay, go ahead and tell me your name.
Hi, my name is Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah, my voice does sound weird too.
Mine sounds weirder than yours, yes.
I was wondering, so as a doctor, do you ever give any faith or religious advice to patients or any of that sort?
Absolutely. They've studied it, and 70% of people want to be asked by their doctor if they have a faith or about their spirituality. So I absolutely do bring it up. That's a perfect segue. So I work at Culture of Life Family Services, which is a Catholic medical center. And so when people come to us, they know we're Catholic. We take everyone. We're actually in Hillcrest. But they know that we won't do anything that goes against the church's teachings. And so if I know my patient's Catholic, I've recommended praying before. I've recommended going to confession. I mean, as a doctor, people tell you things that they don't even tell their friends sometimes. So I've had people tell me that they were in an adulterous relationship and asked for my advice. So yeah, I do it all the time. It's tough, and I have to be solid in my prayer life to do it well. But it's also really rewarding, and most people are really happy that you say something to them. All right, anything else? Go ahead.
Hi, my name's John. What we were talking about in this small group discussion was we don't really live in a Catholic world. You know what I'm saying? So like when we walk out of here into the game of life, it's gonna be like we're gonna get attacked from all angles. So
yeah.
I guess just like anything else, like sports, it's like you know how to do the right thing, but like how do you correct mistakes? Like how does a hitter correct his swing when he's doing the wrong things and when he's in that situation? So like, what are some of the techniques and procedures that you have used to keep yourself on this path? Because like, yeah, this is all well and good now, this hour talk, but when we walk out of here, you know, we're gonna have to stay on this path and keep remind ourselves to like, hey, think this way and do this way, you know, do right and don't do wrong. You know, but there's gotta be some sort of like, hey, well, I did this when this happened, or you can do this, this helped me.
Yeah.
You know, things of that nature. So it's easy to say we're gonna do it right now, but we all know that when we walk out, it's a different story, you know what I mean?
I do. I actually went to undergrad at Berkeley. I'm still Catholic. But I didn't have a single friend there who truly believed in all the church's teachings. And they were like, well, that's just Karen. Karen's Catholic. And she believes in it. And what helped me was my older brother, Father Anthony, was in law school at the time, and my sister Stephanie was there. And so you need to have a couple really good friends who believe the way you believe. Because without that, it is really hard to be solid in the faith. So that's one. You need to be visiting the sacraments regularly. So you need to go to Mass every Sunday. Don't miss it. You need to go to confession regularly, because when you stop taking part in the sacraments, it becomes easy to then become a part of the culture and to not follow the stuff that we talked about. So that would be another tip. What else? Let me think. Community. Come to events like this. And then don't put yourself in tempting situations. My talk wasn't about that, but if you're worried that you're going to fall into a sin sexually or have other sort of unchastity, you've got to not put yourself in those tempting situations, so you don't do that. Father Jacob said, daily examination of conscience. So every day you go through your day, what you did well, what you didn't do well, your sins, and you write those down or you do a mental note of those so that the next day you can do better. What else?
After you ask how you did that day, also asking yourself, what do you want? And that same question, that answer, that I want friendship with Jesus.
Okay. So ask Jesus, ask what you want. How am I doing?
Where have I lacked charity?
And what do I want? And then that you want friendship with Jesus. You know, my spiritual director, last time I saw him, he was like, how many times a day do you tell God I love you? And he's like, what is it, 3 times in the morning, in the afternoon, at night? And I was like, I don't know. And he said, I want you to tell God 33 times a day that you love him. So I was like, well, how am I going to do that? So I thought to myself, well, every time I get focused on myself, I'm going to stop and say, God, I love you. I was like, I do that a lot. So then, you know, it worked out really well. It's probably at least 33 times a day, if not more. All right, anything else? Go ahead. And this will probably be the last one. Go ahead.
You mentioned the importance of a spiritual director. How did you find yours?
Well, the first time I asked a priest to be my spiritual director, I was in medical school, and he told me he was too busy. And then I just didn't ask anyone else, and I told God, well, you're going to need to be my spiritual director, because I couldn't think of anyone else that I wanted to ask. And then when I came back here, after I finished my training, there was this priest, Father Dave, who was at St. Rose of Lima at the time, and I really liked his homilies, and there was something about him, and so I told my brother, I want to ask him to be my spiritual director, and my brother was like, don't ask yet, because he was going through some changes. And then through God's providence, we came together at something related to culture of life, and I just said to him, I said, you know, I'd like you to be my spiritual director. And he said, all right, we'll give it a couple months, but if it's not working out, then I may let you go. And it's been a few years now, but Pope Benedict XVI talks about the importance of a spiritual director. I mean, it is so helpful. You know, if you want to become really buff, right? You go to the gym and you get a trainer. Well, if you want to become spiritually buff, you need someone who can help train you. And that's what a spiritual director does. And they keep you accountable and they help you to develop a daily prayer life. Okay, one last question. Go ahead.
How often would you say you see, or should you see, your spiritual director?
Usually it's once a month.
I noticed the other two priests are gone right now. So, no, in seeking out, what I would recommend, a couple of things. I mean, most of the unfortunate thing is that most of your parish priests are going to be very cramped for time. We are lucky that we do have the Miles Christi priests. They do provide some spiritual direction, but even not just with spiritual direction, but they do provide very well done nights of reflection that are also very good assistance if you're looking for something a little more deeper there. But I mean, don't hesitate to ask your parish priest, you know, and realize this too, that because they are busy, they might not respond right away, but the only way that you'll get them to respond is if you just keep bugging them, you know, because if you don't bug them, somebody else is, and that person's getting the intention and not you. So if you really are seeking it concretely, I'm obviously always discerning the Holy Spirit, of course. You don't want to just keep doing it without, but feel that sense and don't be afraid to ask, that's for sure.
And you don't have to have a priest as your spiritual director. Carrie is actually trained to be a spiritual director. Okay, so what do I do at COLFS? So Culture of Life, Family Services, it's a family practice office, so we're general practitioners. We see people of all ages. We do prenatal care, so we take care of people from the womb to the tomb, we say, you know, from the little babies in the womb until you die. But we're a little different because we're Catholic, and so everything we do is in line with the church's teachings. And we're a little different because we have this special mission where we help women and couples who are in a difficult pregnancy, not difficult medically speaking, but in a crisis pregnancy where they feel like their best option is abortion, which we know is never the best option, never a good option. And so we meet with these women, we give them free ultrasounds, we find out what they need, and we try to meet those needs. So we found housing for people, we've given free baby supplies, free medical care, support, and then we also do something called NAPRO technology. Have any of you heard of that? Woo, a few of you. Wow, And so natural technology is a woman's health science where we use natural family planning and to treat, well, it's a woman's health science where we treat female disease. And the most common thing we treat is infertility. And it's done completely in line with the church's teaching, and it makes use of natural family planning, and it's incredibly effective. We treat other things like polycystic ovarian syndrome, women who've had repeated miscarriages, and women who have abnormal bleeding and hormone dysfunction. But we have about a 70% success rate in helping couples get pregnant, and then often they're able to have subsequent children after their first pregnancy. Okay. Great. Thank you so much for coming.